So we're on Chavov and Beis. Just quickly review what we know. We had a machlokes between Abai and Rava with a Hasmona Milso, Lav Hasmona Milso. But we said that even Abaye, who holds Hasmona Milso, would agree that in the case where you have Levanim, you have the various materials, the bricks and so forth, that are designated to be built in the Beis HaKnesses, that's not called Hasmona Milso. Because it hasn't yet been built into the structure, it's only been designated. Whereas in the case that Abaye is talking about, he addressed the case of Ori Beged Lunes, that the Ariga was completed and therefore the Beged is Roy Lunes. But here, in the case where he designates Levanim, the Gemara says that that's like Tavui Li Origdomi. In other words, he hasn't yet completed the Beged. He prepared the Tzemer, and he made, I guess, the threads in order to make a beged, but he hasn't yet made a beged. So here even Abaye would agree that it's not Hasmona Milso. Then we had a whole sugya about matana. The question is, can you give the synagogue as a gift? And if so, how would that be matir mafkir the kedusha? After all, there's no damim, you're not receiving damim, so there's no transfer of the kedusha from the Beis HaKnesses to the Damim. And the Gemara explains that according to one man, the Omar, Maton is kizvini because of the hanah that you're getting, some sort of benefit that you're getting by giving this gift. That led us to the sugya of Tashmishei Mitzvah, and the Gemara differentiates between Tashmishei Mitzvah like Sukkah of a lulav shofar of tzitzis, as opposed to Tashmishei Kedusha. Then, in the case of Tashmishei Mitzvah, the din is Nizrakim. After you finish using it, it's no longer designated for the mitzvah, so you just throw it out. In the case of Tashmishei Kedusha, there you need Gniza. Unless you can rededicate it and redirect it for some use that's at least the same level of Kedusha. So what are the cases of Tashmishei Kedusha? The Gemara says that anything that you use to put Sfarim in, like a tick, some sort of Amtachas, he calls it here, and you put the Sfarim or the Tefillin or the Mezuzah inside of it, or for example, a tick shall say for Torah, not tick shall Tefillin, Ritzua Seim, these are all Tashmishei Kedusha. So I brought a Shulchan Aruch here. Maybe we'll take a look and see how the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, codifies this. Then Rava has a sugya here about the bima, and he says the following: that first I thought that the bima is tashmish to tashmish. It's not a tashmish shel kedusha because you always put a mappa to separate the Sefer Torah from the bima, but then I realized that sometimes they don't use the mappa and they put the Sefer Torah directly onto the bima, and therefore it has the status of Tashmishei Kedusha. Then Rava has a discussion about something called Prisa, which these are the Arios, I guess. It might be relevant to a parochas, but anyway, he's talking about something that it seems that they put inside the Aron Kodesh to beautify the Aron Kodesh. Oh yeah, Tosus apparently is going to learn that this is a reference to the parochas, but we're going with Rashi. So Rashi's going to identify this as what? Let's just see, the Rashi Yiriya Sheporsim Svivos Aron Mibifnim. So this is an inside kind of curtain or a cushion to beautify the Aron. So right now we assume it's Tashmishei Tashmish because the Aron Kodesh itself is Tashmishei Kedusha. This beautifies the Tashmish El Kedusha. But then he says that sometimes they actually use it as a mapa, some sort of a prisa to be poreis on top of the shulchan in order to read the Sefer Torah. That's called Manchi Sifra Iloye. Let me just see what he says here in the footnote, if he adds anything here. Kein hayanoig bizmanam shalafamim hayaminichim al paroches zu et Sefer Torah. So they would take it out and use it as a tablecloth, so to speak, and on top they put the Sefer Torah. He writes, we don't usually do so, and therefore the parochas has a din of tashmish to tashmish. And this he tells you to look up in Kuf Nun Dalet. So we'll see what we can find in Kuf Nun Dalet. Now we have another statement of Rava, and here he's referring to the Aron Kodesh that fell apart. So it has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha because it serves the Sefer Torah, and you would normally need Gniza. But Rava says instead of Gniza, you could take the broken pieces of the Aron Kodesh and you could build another Aron Kodesh. And since you're going from one Kedusha's Aron Kodesh to another Kedusha's Aron Kodesh, then it's okay. Then Rava had a discussion about, again, this case of Prisa, which he had earlier. And the question is, what can you do with the Prisa? Let's say after it becomes Nishkaka. In other words, it gets used up and it's almost disintegrating. So you're allowed to use it to make a Me'il for a Sefer Torah. And I guess that would be considered like Milan Bekodesh, because really the priest in itself, except for the fact that occasionally they use it for the covering of the shulchan, but or the bima, but in general it's tashmish did tashmish, because it's used, Rashi says, on the inside of the Aron Kodesh. But to use it as a me'il for a Sefer Torah, that would certainly be a Milan Bekodesh kind of situation. However, to use it as a me'il for a single chumash, that's not acceptable. Then we had Rava in terms of Zvili de chumashi. And this was, again, some sort of a tik, an amtachas, that they used to put the chumash in. And then he asked, Kamterei this sifre, he has another kind of a box in which you put the, in this case, Sfarim, which is Tanakh. These are Tashmish to Kedusha Ninu Vinignozin. And Gemara says, Pshito Mao Detema, what do I think? And this is, I think, the last thing we saw, that you designated, good morning, Moshe, how are you? Shalom Aleichem. That you designated not for kavod, it's not to beautify the sefer, but rather to protect it. Komash bala, no, it still has the din of Tashmishei Kedusha, and it requires geniza. And here he mentions two approaches. One approach is to say that this is called kavod, that the very fact that you protect the sefer with this box, that itself gives it the status of kavod, so it's Tashmishei Kedusha. And the other approach was that maybe from time to time it's actually used for kavod. There's actually some element of kavod involved. He says, "Yesha pirshu es maskonas agmar shekamash one dafilu masuyim l'shmira gam ken yesha zedin shel shel tashmishei kedusha." So again, one approach is to say that shmira itself makes it into tashmishei kedusha, the protection element. The other is going to say, no, this is also considered kavod, and that makes it into Tashmishei Kedusha. Then the Gemara tells the story about a Beis Knesses in Rome. Ahu Be Knishta Diudoi Romoi Dahavi Posich Lahu Idrona, and it opened up into a room. So there was an auxiliary side room of the Beis HaKnesses, Davi Moches Be Mes, and there was a dead body in this room, and the Beis Knesses was open into that room. Vavaboy Kohenim Lemeil Litzlios, and the Kohenim wanted to come and daven in that Beis Knesses, but they couldn't do so because there was tumah in this side room, and there was no separation, there was no mechitza or chatzitza between the Beis HaKnesses itself and this room where the mess was. So it was Derech Pesach, it was Pasuach. Osu Amri Leilu Rava, so they asked Rava if he could come up with some sort of a wise piece of advice how the Kohenim could daven in that shul. Amlahu Delu Tevusa, carry the Aron Kodesh, which doesn't have any Sifrei Kodesh inside, V'osvua, and place it down in the opening. Okay, and this has to do with the laws of Tumas Oel. Dahavi Lin, it becomes a Kli Eitza Osli L'Nachas. It becomes a wooden utensil which is set in a permanent way. And the law is that Kli Eitza Osli L'Nachas Eino Mekabel Tuma V'Chotzeitz Bifnei HaTuma. So he has a long introduction here. I'll read parts of it. He says, if you look in Vayikra Yud Aleph, which I think we're going to read this Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken.
That's real.
And it says there, Kol Kli Eitz O Beged O Or O Sak. Okay, so the Torah has Kli Eitz and Beged and Or and Sak. Hukash Kli L'Sak. Ma Sak Mitaltel Af Kli Eitz Imhu Mitaltel. So when is there a Kabbalah's Tuma of utensils that are in the same room as a dead body? That's only if it's similar to Sak, which means it's something that's generally moved. It's not permanently placed in a certain Mokam HaNocha. Av Kli She'ena Metaltel, it's not usually moved, Eina Mekabel Tuma. Then even though it's in the same room as an Oel, if it's a permanently affixed, then it doesn't receive Tuma. And now we have another principle, Kol She'ena Mekabel Tuma Chotzitz Bifnei HaTuma. So here we're talking about a case of an Aron Kodesh, and he's going to place it down. Now, is he placing it in a permanent way? L'chor not. Omru Leso, the Rabbanan turned to Rabban, they say, how could this be a solution for the Kohenim problem? V'zimne d'mitaltele. Sometimes they move it around. Kimonach Sefer Torah. At that particular moment, there was no Sefer Torah inside the Aron Kodesh. But when there's a Sefer Torah inside the Aron Kodesh, then they move the Aron around. It's not like us. Our Aron Kodesh is very much fixed, you know, in its place. But they used to have an Aron Kodesh, like the Gemara in Taina says, they used to take it out to the Rechov HaShalir on a fast day and so forth. It was movable. So this is not considered osu l'nachas. It's not a chotzis me'atuma because it's a dora metaltel, right? And therefore it's doing the sak, and if it's doing the sak, it's metaltumus oel. So Gemara answers, ihochi lo efshar. So Rava backtracked and he said that he doesn't have a solution to the Kohenim. And as long as there's a dead body in that room, they can't go into daven in that Beis HaKnesses. They'll have to find a different Beis HaKnesses. Amar Mar Zutra Mitpachos Smarim Shebalu. So now you have a me'il that covers the Sefer Torah or Svarim and Tanakh, and it now it's disintegrated. It's no longer whole. So what can you do with it? Again, if you want to bury it underground, that's called Geniza, that's fine. But is there another option? So the Gemara says, Osim osan tachrichim lemes mitzvah. Vizuhi genizosan. So this is an interesting chiddush here that our Zutra says that you can take these mitvachos and you can designate them as tachrichim lemes mitzvah. So we can ask two questions here. Question number one, what exactly is a mes mitzvah? And number two, why is it that this is considered a kedusha that would be on the same level as the mitvachos? We said mitvachos are tashmishe kedusha. That's a very serious business. So he has a couple of footnotes here. I'll just read them to you quickly. First of all, he says that the Loshon HaShas should be Yecholim Lasos Mehem Tachrichim. In other words, it's not a chiv to make a tachrichim. If you want, you can bury them, but you have another option. Yecholim Lishkamish Mehem Litzorach Tachrichim. That's number one. Number two, what is a mes mitzvah? So he says, in the name of the Meiri, a mes mitzvah is an ani, a poor person, she'ein lo tachrichim. He doesn't, they don't have money to buy tachrichim from his estate. And then he says, umashma mepashtus loshen ha-gemara, she'kevet she'em chayovim gniza, l'chein osimem tachrichim, she'zui gnizasam, that this is called gniza. So he means to say the following, that eino chinami, you're not really using the mitpachos, these mantles, as we call them, for kedusha. You're using them to bury the dead. But that's a form of burial. Since they're going to be underground, even though they're on the body of the mess, that's fine. But then he quotes the Taz. The Taz writes that kol dobra shekedushaso gedola, if you have any object that has a very high level of kedusha and you can't use it for a low level of kedusha, is tfei odif shiyasu bo lechol apochos kedusha kala mimashe yignizu oso. So the Taz sees in our Gemara a bombastic chiddush that enochinami, the kedusha that we're using it for, is on a low level because originally it was designated for a Sefer Torah. But nevertheless, if there's nothing else that you can use, in other words, the only other option is Gniza, then he says that you can use it for a lower level of Kedusha. So that means that according to the Taz, our Sugya, Kavanas HaGemara Hi Shegniza Zui Achein Hafchosas HaKedusha. No, it's not the way we said it before, that this is gniza. This is the way you bury it. No, he's saying that you're burying it with a pchusas hafchosas hakedusha, and you're allowed to do that because you don't have another possibility. There's no other option. They can't remain in the kedusha that they were originally designated for because it's a case of balu. How do they translate the word bolu into English? I keep saying disintegrate. I don't know. This is probably a better word for that. What do you call your clothing after they get
worn?
Oiskemata. But worn. Okay. Worn. We'll call it worn. I think that's a good word. Okay. That's better than disintegrate. So since the mantle of a sefer is now disintegrated, you can no longer use it as such. So then you have to use it for a low level of kedusha if you have no other option. That's the way the Taz understood it. So we'll see if we can find this in the poskim here. Let's just read one more sugya. The Amar Rava Sefer Torah Shebala. Somebody told me once that the average lifespan of a Sefer Torah is anywhere between 100 and 150 years. After 150 years, basically the ink starts fading away. So we have an old Sefer Torah in our position that's on the borderline. So when I get around to it, I have to take it to Rabbi Rubin. He's the expert on this issue of an old Sefer Torah, whether it's still kosher or not. Sefer Torah Shebola Godzim Oso Eitzel Talmud Chacham. We bury it near a Talmud Chacham. And here we have Machlokas, exactly why. According to Piskei Rid, that's a covenant in the Sefer Torah, that the Sefer Torah's Gniza was near a Talmud Chacham. But the Sefer Eshkol writes that this is the covenant of a Talmud Chacham, that they bury a Sefer Torah next to it. So two ways of learning this Gemara. He says, "Afilu shona halachas." It doesn't have to be a Talmud Chacham who could paskin horah in halacha. It's enough that he knows halachas. So, what is halachas? Rashi says that halachas means mishnayos ubraisos. Very strange combination here. But it basically means he knows Tanoic literature, I guess you could say. The literature of the Tanoim, whether it's Mishnayos or Braisos. Achim lo shimesh talmidei chachamim, he has not, in a sense, apprenticed by Talmud Chacham, b'gemara, in the study of the Talmud. Shehi svaras tamei ha-mishnah. So he doesn't know the real reasoning behind the Mishnah. He just knows what you'd say, simple, straightforward pshat of the Mishnah, nothing more profound. But nevertheless, since he has this status as a shona halachos, then, again, I would say in this case everybody should agree that the covet here is for the shona halachos, not for the Sefer Torah. But again, there's one sheet that we saw, Machlok Shin, the Piskei Arin, in the Sefer Eshkol, is the covet for the Sefer Torah itself. It's interesting, I don't know if you ever saw this, but in the old, if you go to an old Beis HaKfaras, you will still see today, sometimes on the Matseva, on the top, there'll be a picture of, you know, an engraving of what that person knew in his lifetime. So for example, if somebody knew Mishnayos, they'll have a picture of Shisha Sidme Mishnah on top. Have you ever seen that?
No,
very fascinating.
Whatever, in Toronto, if you're a Kohen, so they put...
Right. That's for a different reason, right? But this I saw. I remember I saw this in Poland. We went to a Beis HaKfaras, trying to remember the name. Obenzin, I think, was the name of the town. I'm probably not pronouncing it the way the Poles pronounce it. And there's still a Beis HaKfaras there that hasn't been destroyed. It's not so common. Until we found the person, you know, the guy who knew how to open up the gates and so forth. Anyway, we went in and we found the kever we were looking for from a fellow named Rechnitz. I don't know if you know the family. And it had an engraving of Shisha Sidre Mishnah on it. So you can imagine that next to his kever they may have buried a Sefer Torah. Omar Avach Bar Yaakov Ubekli Cheres. You don't put the Sefer Torah directly into the ground, but rather you put it inside some sort of an earthenware jar container, and the reason for that is that we want it to last as long as possible. And here the Gemara quotes a very famous pasuk in, where is this? In Yirmiyahu. I was going to say Yirmiyahu or Yeshayahu. Yeah, I'll tell you why this pasuk is so famous for another reason. It has nothing to do with Sefer Torah. Shenemar v'nesatem b'kli cheres l'man yamdu yomim ravim. That's something that's made on cloth and is placed inside a kli cheres, an earthenware container, will last for many, many days, meaning for many years. And the reason why this pasuk, anybody know why this pasuk is so famous?
Because of the Dead Sea Scrolls, no?
That's
what become famous today.
Right. No, I meant something else. I meant Shas, it's famous.
Oh, Shas.
Yeah. Okay. No, the Gemara wants to know whether Eidi Masira Karsi or Eidi Chasima Karsi. So in that sugi, the Gemara quotes this pasuk. What happened is the Navi tells the people of Israel that they're going to be exiled from the land, and what they should do is anyone who has a shtar, anyone who has a document testifying to the fact that he owns land in Eretz Yisrael, he should bury it in a kli cheres, because when we, Emir Tzashem, will come back, Eretz Yisrael will be able to again reclaim his land. So the Gemara goes into discussions there about Eidi Chasima Karse and Masira Karse. What makes a shtar into a shtar? Is it the signatures and the fact that we can verify the signatures, or even without verifying the signatures, the fact that the shtar was given?
And that's a sugya where?
In a few places in Shas, but mostly in Gittin. So the next sugi is really the sugi that I wanted to spend quite a bit of time on, but I figured instead of going jumping right into that sugi, let's maybe take a little bit of time, if it's okay with the Olam here, to go through some of the halachas that we studied over here. So this is Arachayim Siman Kuf Nun Dalet. If you have a Mishnah Berurah, it's in the second volume. Just so you should know where it is. So the Mechaber first of all paskins like the Chachamim as far as Rechava Shel Ir is concerned. Against who is it? Rav Yossi, was it? And Rechava Shel Ir Afal Pishu Mispalim Ba Betainios Ein Ba Mishum Kedusha Mibneshu Aroi. And he says the following: there are all sorts of places where people gather together to daven occasionally, sometimes inside houses, sometimes outside in yards, bechatzeros. But it's all ba'akroy. It's b'derech mikra. It's not b'derech kavua. It's therefore ein b'hem shum kedusha. Those areas have no kedusha. Okay, fine. Again, there are more details here in the Mishnah Berurah. But let's leave it for now because I want to get to Tashmishei Kedusha. Okay. Sif Gimel, Tashmishei Kedusha, Kigon Tik Shel Sfarim Umezuzos, Uritzuas Tefillin. So we have a tik, a box in which we put a sefer. Now a sefer l'chora would mean even a sefer Tanakh. It doesn't say Sefer Torah right now, because later the Mechaber says V'argaz shenos nebo Sefer Torah. So therefore, it seems like the first part of this Mechaber he's talking about Sifrei Tanakh. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. He says B'tashmishei mitzvah kaimalon dili achar sha'ovar mitzvahs on mutal lizarkon. Right, so after you finish your tzitzis or your shofar, whatever it might be, you can throw it out. But b'tashmishei kedusha eino kein. Ela afli achar shenizbalu, even after they're worn out, v'einom ru'uyim od l'tashmishon, mikol makom yesh b'hem kedusha v'tzorach l'gonzam. V'gam osur l'shtamish b'hem shum tashmish. V'davka tashmish kedusha atzma. So when are we talking about the Isur that you're not allowed to use it? That's only Tashmishei Kedusha Atzma. Aval Dover Shem Meshamesh Lu Tashmishei Kedusha V'hu Adnikra Tashmish De Tashmish Ein Bo Kedusha U'muto L'shtamish Bohem Af Bi Odon Kayomen. So if I understand the Mishnah Berurah correctly, again, don't rely on me here, but I think what he's saying is that a tashmish, the kedashmish, you can use for anything. It doesn't have kedusha to it. Tikshel svarim, or this we mechavit to what he says. Hainu tor neviim uksuvim shehem kedusha, meaning they're atzmon kedusha. It doesn't have to be a sefer Torah that is all five books of Moses. It's enough if it has neviim and ksuvim in it. Vatik. And the tik itself is Tashmishei Kedusha. V'hu adin l'shar sifrei kodesh. Now I wish I knew what he meant by that. V'hu adin b'shar sifrei kodesh. What does he mean? Any Torah Shebaal Peh he means? I don't know. Until now we're talking about Tanakh. I don't know. This we'll have to come back to. If I can borrow your pen, I'll just make an underline here. Pencil is even better. Thank you so much. V'hu adin l'shar sifrei kodesh. On the bottom here, the Shar Tzidki just quotes sources. Then he says, "V'masha kosu ritzus tefillin who adin l'tik shelahem." Okay, so that's the nartik that you put your tefillin into. He doesn't talk about the zekel that you put your tefillin once it's in a tik. Maybe that would be tashmish, which is very interesting. He says, "V'chol zeh bein mishal yad u'bein mishal rosh." Okay, he feels compelled to tell us it doesn't matter whether it's ritzuas or tefillin and shal rosh or tefillin shal yad. Now, in the Be'er Halacha, he has a whole discussion here about selling tashmishei kedusha. He says, "Ima hani bozeh zayin tuvei a'ir b'maymeran she'a'ir." And I'm not sure exactly what's going on over here, because is it accurate to say that everything we've been discussing is owned publicly? Like, for example, we've been discussing tikshel mezuzos or tikshel tefillin or tzuvashel tefillin. I mean, who owns that? You know, where does Zayin Tuvia Ir come into play?
In many shuls, there are extra pairs of tefillin.
You think that's what he's referring to? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. He just seems to make a general comment here. So I'm just wondering, you remember Rav Soloveitchik was saying that Zayin Tuvia Ir is a din of Leiv Bezdin Masna Leiv? So I'm wondering if that any time you designate something for Tashmish and Kedusha, in other words, let's say I say that this is going to be for a tzuvashel tefillin, even though it's my personal ownership, it could be that Leiv Bezdin Masna Leiv, that there's some sort of a tanai. And he says in such a case, that maybe it's Yotzit L'chulin, Kamo Beis HaKnesses, Dimavur Li'el B'sima Kuf Nun Gimel. Okay, we didn't learn Kuf Nun Gimel. So if Zion. Okay, but then he goes and he quotes the Magen Avraham. He disagrees. He says, "Lo mahani shum eitza lafkuei tashmishi kedusha mikedusha sayin." There's no way you can remove the kedusha of tashmishi kedusha. I guess the only exception, therefore, is going to be of Beis HaKnesses, which is owned by the city. Let's say if we go that way. Okay, that's the first two lines of a Bir Aloch that goes on and on the page. So again, I don't know how much time I have or you have to go through this. Let's just read on in the Mechaber a little bit. He says, V'arga shenos nebo sefer Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah says, Ma'irisha huchan lekach. It was already created, it was manufactured. V'afilu matayin lo nosan bo. He hasn't yet placed the Sefer Torah. So in other words, this is like the sugi of Abaye. The Gemara says, even though Abaye holds Hasmona Milsa, that's only when they took the bricks and they actually built it in the Beis HaKnesses. And not only that, Rava says that Hasmona Lav Milsa, so you have to use it at least once. So it sounds like he's passing like Rava. Okay. He says... He says, "Im rogil lite non sham bekvius niskadish al yidei ze afal pishlo huchan mitchil lakach." So, notes, even though it was built as a regular box, but if you use it regularly for a sefer Torah, now it gains this. So, it's not a din that has to be manufactured from the get go for the purpose and designated for that purpose of a sefer Torah. Now, shenos nebo sefer Torah kamashma. What's the chiddush here of Argaz? Of course, it's a classic case of tashmishi kedusha. The lone name, or we shouldn't say the lishmir bialma of it, that this is only to protect the sefer Torah. V'lo lekavod, and therefore ain al Argaz shame tashmishi kedusha. He doesn't tell you what the kamashma. Either the kamashma is that I don't need it l'shem kavod; it's enough l'shem shmira. Or are we saying that if it's l'shem shmir, that's also a kind of kavod? I don't know, he doesn't spell that out. The osan tevos amyuchados losum sham sfarim shalonu shasfarim mechusim biniyar ubiar obekroshim mikri ateva tashmish de tashmish. Now I'm not sure exactly what he means here, but he says that we have various boxes and places where we, closets, I guess he said, that are designated exclusively for Svarim. But he says that our Svarim are covered, and therefore the drawers or the closets in which you put these Svarim, that's already Tashmish to Tashmish. The after Bargash and also both Sefer Torah Kaimel and Afilu Sefer Torah Menachas Petik Afilu Hochi Yav Yagaris Tashmish and Kedusha Efsha Dargash Shani Shasu for the Sefer Mashenke be Elu at Tevo Shasu Vaklishmir be Alma. I guess he's, if I'm not mistaken, he's bothered by the fact that the Sefer Torah itself is covered with a Me'il. So why shouldn't the Argaz be considered Tashmishe Tashmish the Kedush? I think that's what he's bothered by. I don't know. He doesn't spell
Argaz
it out.
What does Argaz mean?
Argaz is a box, I guess. I don't know. There's probably a better word for it in English.
Argaz. No, like an Argaz is like a chest.
A chest. That's a good word. So he's saying the following: the Sefer Torah itself is covered by whatever it's covered by. Let's say, for example, the Sephardic Sefer Torah, Ferikusia, and that certainly is a box that covers the Sefer Torah. Now you put that into the Argaz, into the Aron Kodesh. So why does this Argaz take on the status of Tashmishei Kedusha? It should be Tashmish to Tashmish. So he answers that Argaz came into Osu L'chvod Sefer Torah. So here Shmira would not be enough. In other words, if it's Shmira, then the question is Shmira directly on the Sefer, or it's Shmira on a Sefer that's already covered? And if it's Shmira on a Sefer that's already covered, then it has the status of Tashmish to Tashmish, and it's not Kadosh. But if on the other hand, even though it's a Tashmish to Tashmish, but it's L'covered a Sefer, so covered is an upgraded status. It's not like Shmira B'Alma, and therefore it's considered Tashmishei Kedusha. So a lot of our questions really are going to have to come down to the issue of whether it's Shmira or whether it's Kavod. It's like, for example, a Tefillin Zekel, right? Let's say your Tefillin already in an Artig, but you put it in a Zekel. So I don't know, is that Zekel a Shmira or is it a Kavod? You know, people spend a lot of money in Judaica stores, to get the most beautiful Tefillin Zekel. Maybe that itself makes it L'Kavod, and therefore, since it's designated for Tefillin, it becomes Tashmishei Kedusha. I'm just thinking out of the box here. Pardon the pun, out of the box, but,
So, when we learned before about the Teva having the Kedusha, we're assuming everything is covered already, too. I mean, so is the, I guess my question is the Teva, Is it Shmira, is it Kedusha of a
Teva? I mean, if there's a mapa between the Sefer Torah and the Teva?
Yeah, I'm saying like the Aron Kodesh. Is he considered the Aron Kodesh? I mean, saying that we do now.
So he's saying that if I understand what he's saying the Aron Kodesh is not just L'Shmira, but it's also L'Kavod.
Okay. Which would make sense. I mean, it shows the belief.
But let's say, for example, if you have a table and you're reading the Sefer Torah on top of the table, so that would be Tashmishei Kedusha. But if you separate the Sefer Torah from the table with a mapa, with a talus or whatever you use there, so it could be that in that case the table is not L'Kavod. Again, it's hard to say because some of our tables, the bimas are made beautifully, they pay carpenters to do very creative work. Maybe that's also called L'Kavod. So this is very interesting because this little Mishnah Berurah, which you can blink and miss, but I think it really contains the solution to so many different halachic problems. The Kisei Shenosin Olav Sefer Torah. So they used to put the Sefer Torah on a certain. You'll see it a lot again in Sephardic shuls. It's quite common. They have a special chair for the Sefer Torah.
In Ashkenazi shuls, they used to have the holes to put the eights.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that lately.
Yeah. A lot of shuls they have the
Sephardic shuls. It's quite common, even in Ashkenazi
shuls. It's quite common.
Right. So this is also considered Tashmishei Kedusha because again, it's designated for the Sefer Torah. Now, what about Vilon Shetolim Lifnei Ahecho? What we call a Parochet Yesh Bahem Kedusha Vitzark LeGanzon. So you can't reuse them. Again, hopefully he'll say something about burying the Mesu Tachriko. Yeah, that's going to come later on. So basically what he's saying is that the Vilon, now I would say the Vilon has Kedusha because it's L'Kavod. Maybe he's going to say sometimes we use it as a table cover, a tablecloth to put the Sefer Torah on. Let's see what he says. He says, Kisei. Hu ha-shulchan sha'omed al ha-bima. Okay, so he's not talking about what we said. He's talking about the table, the af, the olav. Oh, so here's the question. Why is that called Tashmish the Kedusha? The olav munach mitpachas. The olav mitpachas munach sefer Torah. So it should be Tashmishei Tashmishei. Why is the shulchan Tashmishei Kedusha? Afilu hachi din Tashmishei Kedusha yesh lo mishum delefa'omim nosnim olav sifrei Torah b'lo mitpachas. That was the Gemara of Rava. That initially Rava thought that the Shulchan Abima was Tashmishei Tashmishei, and then he came to the conclusion, no, sometimes they use it without the mitpachas. Okay, so he's not saying what we said, that is, it's meant to beautify the Sefer Torah. He's just He looks at it as something more functional, and therefore it should be Tashmishei Kedusha. But the answer is that sometimes the Sefer Torah goes directly on the Shulchan. Another point that we mentioned last week is, what about the Eitz Chaim? You know, the Eitz Chaim L'chora maybe it lifts up the klaf, so the klaf is not directly on the Shulchan. Uvilon shetolid hu aparoches v'hainu l'minag ha-talmud shoy l'fomim einichim Sefer Torah olehu. Now sometimes they would take the paroches and use it as a mitpachas to cover the shulchan and put the Sefer Torah directly on. Oh, shoy mechasim ba Sefer Torah. Yeah, Rashi mentions the possibility that they would sometimes use it as a cover for the Sefer Torah. V'nira shoy yedomer zeh matzu bizmano. That was very common in that time. Shavol ha'idna lo nagin kochi. In kein havile tashmishei tashmish. Wow. So the din is, it has tashmishei tashmish. That's pretty good. Both said, you hear this? The maskara of the Mishnah Berurah is that ha'idna, in our time, a parochas has the status of tashmish to tashmish. That's pretty amazing. Now I was wondering, you know, today you go to the museum, you know, the Israel Museum, you'll see they have parochas from old times. So that's probably recovered. That's, you know, there's not. See, that's the question. How do you learn this? That's what we have to understand. At least I have to understand what this din of Gneza is. It's a cum, or it's just that's the way to protect, you know, to protect him. If you hang it up in a museum, maybe you don't need Gneza. I don't know. So that to me is a little baffling. Hopefully we'll get to it. You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah,
is there a din of Gemisa? Like, we have to put it away?
No, I think not. I think the usage is so. I had a, long story short, I had a pair of 18 and a broken for a Sefer Torah. I picked up a phone to have.
Usher, if I move my feet, am I going to hit you?
And I picked up.
Just have to stretch.
And I picked up. I spoke to a sofer in Toronto. Anyways, he said, look, I'm involved in a project to fix up Sefer Torah. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we take all sorts of parts and things and we try to put together Sefer Torah to give it to the army. He says, give it to me, I'll find a use. Somewhere down the line, they'll find a use for it. So it's like, there's ends off. Like, you know, you can't say it's.
But when he wants to use it, he wants to use it for another Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
I'm asking you, hang it up in a museum.
So, is that called
a use?
So the question is the art of a prophet something.
Sometimes they hang it up with a.
Either way, if it's Tashmisha, then no problem. And if it is Tashmisha Kedusha, so there's a cover to it that everybody's seeing what it is. Right.
Yeah, so you don't need Knisa.
Yeah. For most people who go to the museum and they see that, trust me, they're not looking at like RC Freitora. So they get them.
Oh, you mean it's like a chiropractor?
Yeah. So, you know, to say, some Tashmish Kedusha, but in your lifetime, you know,
right.
There's still hope.
Right. He says, so the Rav Moshe says the following, Dafka, again, we're talking about a parochas, now Dafka, Sheminichem Bem Dvar Kedusha B'Yatzmu Lefa'amim, right, so let's say you put a Sefer Torah down from time to time, which the Mishnah Berurah says that was back in the day, Oshe Nases Lekavod, or it was done for beautifying, for honoring the Sefer Torah, you go on, Michse Shal Akrashim Shal Sfarim, it's only for the sake of Shmira, and it's on top of the crushing, that's ready Tashmish to Tashmish. So you really have to know, in either case, is it there for protection purposes, or is it for a cover to beautify and to honor? Okay. Now, fast forwarding a little bit here to Siv Dalid, Mitpatchos Sefer Torah Shebolu. Okay, what do you do now with the mantle after it gets worn out? Yecholim lasos mehem tachrichim lemes mitzvah v'zohi gnizasa. Okay, that's what we saw in the Gemara, and that's here codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Lemes mitzvah, says the Mishnah Berurah, Shetzrachav mutolim al tzarchei tzibur. Right, because he doesn't have any estate left to bury him, so we have to bury him with the money of the tzibur. I think here in Yerushalayim, they guarantee everyone a place of burial. I don't know if that's true all of the state of Israel.
Wherever you live, whatever your tzedakah says you live, that's you
know. Anywhere in Israel?
Where person your tzedakah? Right. Like where your city you live in,
any city in Israel.
It's not any city. Like if I'm Yerushalayim, I'm guaranteed Yerushalayim. If I'm here,
no, but I'm saying every city.
It's when you die. I mean, you can't.
You can't sell it on the open market.
Unless you buy it with something private.
Oh yeah, then you can sell.
Where do you live, Yerushalayim? Oh, so you're right. That's what I understand.
Okay, he says the goats and also. V'hu did shar sfarim shebolu. So this is where, you remember, right. I underlined this because I got, he said shar sifriko. So here again he picks it up, but here I think maybe he explains it. Maybe this will shed a light on that Mishnah Berurah number Zion that we started with. V'hu did l'shar sfarim shebolu uksuvim. I guess, I don't know why he mentions Ksuvim here. Just one second. I guess until now he's talking about Nevi'im, I don't know, Ksuvim. Now listen to this. Again, I'm going to borrow your pencil if I can. Kishehen Ksuvim bi'or ubiglila ubidyo. This is not our British farm. I was chayshmik sharing, so to speak. I thought the Mishnah Berurah was actually talking about our books, like all the books we have on this table here now. Maybe you should even your notebook. I don't know about the computer. I don't know what status that has. You know, maybe that's only Yofan HaKaron. It doesn't have the status in Kedusha. But no, he's not talking about our sforim. He's talking about something that's written.
Because there's different, there are different levels of VM Kesuvim. I think they will probably make a distinction between the VM Kesuvim. First of all,
maybe.
We used.
I mean, we said not until now, but anyway, he now says, "Well, who are the Nevi'im Uksuvim? They're all the same." But my point is something else. I just want to know, what do I have to do with all the Sfarim on this table? Do they require Gneza? Which is mostly what we do. But he's saying that's not. Again, you know, you want to be Machmir and so forth and so on. You know, there are people today who go into Bate Kvaras to look for old Sfarim, you know, and stuff like that. You know that. Yeah, because in the old days they used to take sfarim and they took it out. I don't know if they still do it today, I assume they do. And they take it in truckloads, you know, in cargoes, and they bring it to a Beis HaKvaros. But he's saying technically, no, you're not talking about that.
They charge for that.
But there are people who go there and try to unearth it and see what they can find. He says, we also list sarfam, we're not allowed to burn it, chas v'shalom. The afgav the kavanasa shloye devizoyim, even though, you know, let's say he's burning this sefer Torah shabola because he doesn't want anyone to humiliate it, you know, desecrate it. But we call makom derech hashchasa. You're not allowed to do derech hashchasa. And then he quotes a rabbi that says if you burn a sefer Torah, you violate a lav d'oraisa lo tasim kei mashem lo keicha. The who did call Tashmisha Kedushi actually Zarbusa. So you have a Tashmisha Kedushi, you're not allowed to burn it. Even though you're burning it for the right reasons, so to speak, but you're not allowed to do it. And then we said that you can bury it near another option, if you don't have a Mes Mitzvah, is you can bury it near a Talmud Chacham. But in all cases, the Shulchan Aruch says, Menicha Noso V'Kli Cheres, that we saw. And he writes here, Shona Lochos. Who is this Talmud Chacham? He's a Shonel Lochos. Pirish Mishnayis Ubraiso, he quotes Rashi here. But Velo Shimesh Talmud Chacham B'Gemara. She has Varas Kaimei Mishnah. Okay, so that we saw. Ein Osamiteva Kisei L'Sefer Torah. Now let's try to figure that out without looking at the Mishnah Berurah. You're not allowed to take a Teva.
Yeah.
Make it into
a key.
Just give me 1 second, Rosh. I want you to say, but I just want to get my brain wrapped around this. Teva, you can't make it into a kisei. We said a kisei is where you put the Sefer Torah. And a teva, Yeah, I don't get it. Go ahead. You tell me what's pshat.
Because one is arai, one is kavua. The teva is kavua, and the kisei is arai. You don't do that very often.
Excellent. The kisei shnoslam sefer Torah means arai. Oh, it might also be because usually you read it with a mitpachas in the middle. Let's see what he says. Tevu aron kodesh v'af the kisei gamhu. Tashmishe kedusha. I feel like he also the teva. Here's your answer. You could have written the Mishnah Berurah. The teva has sefer Torah murach ba tamin. The kisei or shulchan. The nosan of sefer Torah for amin. Bahavi or rodas kedusha. Oh, this we have to. This is big stuff. Rabosa, I get excited when I understand anything because this is so complicated. The laws are so intense, you know, so nuanced and detailed. What time is it, brother? I don't want to...
8:14.
Let's see if we can just see what he says. That we saw in the Gemara. Also, lasus menu shrafraf. Pirish, this is the Ramoyed, kisei katan, likisei. So I guess if you have a smaller box that's going to somehow serve a larger box, that's already lowering the kedusha. Mutalasus mi vilon gadol vilkot lasus menu kisle sefer Torah. He calls it a kisle sefer Torah. We called it a meil. Avalasus mi menu kisle chumash, right, for one book of the five books. Awesome. Now the Ramah is the following. Uparochas anachnu tolim lefei ha'aron ein lo kedushas aron. Okay, ein lo kedushas aron. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. There is manenu liolam ein nosin olam. This was what we saw before. So this is more or less a repeat. Umuto lasos mi parochas mapa sha'ala shulchan. Yeah, for sure. That's Malbikosh, right? Because then he's using it for the Sefer Torah itself. V'tzarech lo'ir lama nagu lefarso. He's talking about a paroches lefarso lechupo lechasonin. One second. Let's just think about this. What did we just finish saying? That a paroches, if it's le if it's l'shem kavod, right? So it's not tashmishe tashmishe, but rather it has the status of tashmishe kedusha. And now he's using it as a chuppah. He says, "Uma shenagu the parcel of chuppah, efshar delev bezdin masnalian." He's going back to this din of two be'ir, the way Rav Salvechik interpreted it. See, that's one thing about this whole sugya that complicates it. And when do we say, like for example, I see people in our shul that lean on the Aron Kodesh. So first I thought maybe they only lean on the, there's like a, on both sides of the Aron Kodesh, there's like a pillar, you know what I'm talking about, two pillars. It's actually carved out of wood. So I thought maybe that's not part of the Aron Kodesh, but now I'm thinking to myself, it's l'kavod, so maybe it is part of the Tashmish. So how do they lean on it, let's say? Or, for example, you have a shulchan and people put all sorts of things on the shulchan. That's what Eric was yelling about, you know, the list of announcements and all that. So I was wondering if you could apply this principle of Leib Bez Masna, like the parochas that you're using for a chuppah for chasanin. But I don't know, what's the extent of Leib Bez Masna? We said
the vilon is tashmishay. We said that that's not... Even though it's l'chava, you wouldn't want to use it for. But since you're using it for, they said for a chasna.
So that, I'm just maybe wondering. This is my question that I'd love to research. Maybe tomorrow we can figure it out. Can Leiv Bez Masna help us with tashmishe kedusha? No. Before we saw that tashmishe kedusha, there's nothing to do. We're not willing to negotiate. But maybe there's something different in Leiv Bez Masna, because I'm telling you, people, I've seen it with my eyes. Another thing that bothers me, people use the shulchan from which we lay the Sefer Torah as drums. You know what I'm talking about? You know, on a Friday night, you know, with Shlomo Kalas. No, I'm talking about Friday night. They bang up and down, and it really bothers me. I mean, that's what we're reading the Sefer Torah. So maybe because it's a mitpachas, it's only tashmishay, tashmishay. But then we said that sometimes you read it directly, so the Shulchan has a din of tashmishay kedusha, right? You know, very interesting. So I was thinking, maybe there's a lay based in Masli here, because otherwise we're in deep trouble. People don't even blink about it. They don't think twice. So I was thinking, making a big stink about it. You're making a mechav, Rabbi Say.
Unless
So mostly just for tomorrow.
Okay.
So we make a note of it. We're up to Omer Abpok and Shmei Rav Mamish at the end of Chavor Amid Beis, the last line. Am I right?
Yeah.
But no, two lines up before the end. But I reserve the right to see if we can, you know, get a little bit more of a grasp, because this is such a local amaisa sugya about tashmishi mitzvah, tashmishi kedusha, that we should try to get some idea. Okay, what does it look like out there?
Winter again.